down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnell. Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnell, and you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that hopefully will make a difference in your life, will inspire you to think differently, to think bigger, and to consider possibilities that perhaps you thought about at one time in your life, but you dismissed them as impractical. And what if there was a way you can make the impossible possible? What if you had that mindset? And that's something I've thought about. And so I invited somebody who knows a lot about that. His name is Glenn Birkenkamp. He's going to be our guest. He has an interesting background. Years ago, he was a weightlifter. And he more or less looked at his body in one way and said, you know, there's more to that. He also was a fitness expert. And he explored and started to really look at ways he can bring wellness and fitness to his whole body, mind, and spirit. He gives talks and workshops. He's a writer. And he has a book called Mastery, Living the Highest You. And that topic has intrigued me at times. It's kind of a bold statement about mastery. I know that years ago I did a personal growth process called the Hoffman Process. And my focus was on personal mastery. And there was part of me that thought about, well, who am I to kind of say this and to really wonder, what does it mean? Does it mean that everything is perfect? You don't make mistakes? And I also studied as a musician with a world master, a man named G.S. Suchdev, who recently passed away. He was considered a world master. But does it mean you don't have bad days? So when I saw this title, I invited Glenn to be on the show and to share his wisdom with us, and he's given me a copy of his book, and I've been looking at it, and it's a very different kind of book, and every page is a quote about a master in nice calligraphy. And so, welcome, Glenn.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's great to be here and have the chance to inspire new people.
Good. So what was going on with you when you came up with this book, Mastery? I know you've been working in this area for many, many years. And let's actually go back a little bit. Why did you want to get into become a bodybuilder? What was your thinking at that time? What was going on in your life that you said, I want to be a bodybuilder? Because you sent me a photo, and I've seen you. I haven't seen that photo before, but I've seen you, around here at the health food store, and you look almost like a different person. So this is 25, 30 years ago. So why did you want to become a bodybuilder?
I don't know the exact why. I was, for your listeners, I was 11 or 12 years old at the time when I began. I think it was more like a calling. You know, when we talk about inspiration, we often don't know where inspiration comes from. It's something that just all of a sudden sparks within you. And that was something that happened with me. I was just all of a sudden very, very focused on, bodybuilding and getting, improving my muscularity and getting bigger, getting stronger. And it wasn't per se for any one particular sport. It was purely for the idea of working with my body. And so that started a long odyssey of into the body and, still working with the body, but in a much more dynamic and holistic ways now.
And do you still do bodybuilding, still lift weights?
I do some what you'd call strength training or weight-bearing exercises because I believe there's a lot of value in them, but it's not the driving force of my practice, you could say. It's more of a supplemental point.
So at some point, you're doing the bodybuilding, and you start to explore in many other ways, and you're saying, you know what, there's something else going on. We're more than our physical bodies, and I would imagine you had some form of a realization, some type of aha. There's more that I need to do. Can you tell me what was going on at that time?
Sure. I'd realized that in the most basic level, I realized that I maxed out what I could do with my body, meaning that I would never become Mr. Universe or anything on that level based on genetic shortcomings, being naturally a lean person. And at that point, I was also training professional bodybuilders, and I was judging shows like the Mr. USA as a physique judge. But I realized that I'd taken that as far as I could possibly go, and meaning that it was no longer intriguing, it was no longer stimulating, and it was, you know, quite honestly not really fun anymore. So what really started to intrigue me was the inner workings of the body and beyond, you know, the endocrine system and you know, the bone and marrow of it, but more like how the thoughts manifest in our world outside of us. What do our belief systems do in shaping the world? And I had touched on this a little because part of bodybuilding, you know, is we deal with creative visualization. You deal with, you know, being present in your mind, being mindful when you're training. But I wanted to go deeper into that, and that was my first way in. Was one day I said to myself when I was 23 years old, I'm now going to work on my insides as much as I've worked on my outsides. And when one makes a statement like that, I don't think you ever know where it's going. But for me, it went, you know, deep into this world of, you know, what are we beyond the physical and the energetic properties of the body, what some people might call the auric field, or things like that became more and more intriguing to me. Alternate forms of healing became intriguing to me. And just getting to know myself on a whole nother level and also explore strength, you know, not just from the external way, but from the internal way. So that was the path.
So you were looking for not just, as you say, external strength, but inner strength.
Yeah, the inner strength.
And
also what, yes, exactly. And what makes it up? Like, we're dynamic organisms. We are, like, the human body is incredible. I think we're just scratching the surface of the potential of the human body and the human mind. So for me, that became very intriguing, and trying to learn as much as I could about this instrument, this body that I'm in 24 hours a day, you know.
So what was once you kind of got this is what I want to do, what was your next step? What did you do next?
I think my first step was starting to really look at myself. You know, you mentioned earlier this book, Mastery, Living the Highest You, and the idea of, you know, mastery. I think my path has been one of self-mastery. And again, I don't think so much as you were saying that a master has to be perfect. What a master is aware when they are not hitting the mark, or they have the tools to, you know, keep them going through certain situations. And so a master is a work in progress. But the path that I went on was what I would call the path of know thyself, self-realization, or ultimately what one would call self-mastery.
So let me interject here. So you're kind of saying a mastery is a work in progress?
For me, it's a work. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, you'll meet people that are a master shoemaker. There might be a master teacher at something, but to bring it into all areas of one's beingness is a continual process. At least I believe, and I've witnessed it to be as.
Right. So then you go ahead and you start this other process. Were there, like, systems you explored? Were there, you know, workshops you took? Were there meditation practices or internal disciplines that you explored?
Well, the first was really starting to, you could even say almost from an intellectual point of view, starting to look at my thoughts and my belief systems, really look at them. What was the nature of my thoughts? Why did I believe what I did? How did those thoughts and beliefs influence life and the life of those around me? If I alter those thoughts and beliefs, how to alter the world around me? So that was the first pathway in. Through that, of course, then came things like meditation. Meditation I began with was very simple. Breath meditation to this day is a meditation that I work with, using the breath. And so there's been many things that have occurred over the years. I had, you know, periods of time where I worked with a few Qigong masters. that was very interesting as far as experiencing and working within the energetic properties of the body. And then, of course, you know, I think what happens, Mark, and I don't know if this has been the case with you on your path, is the more we engage in this higher quest, it seems the more information we need that comes to us, whether it be from our soul, you know, our indwelling spirit. But it seems like we start to get more and more information, you could say intuitively, we just form a greater connection to ourself, or what I call our higher self. So that's what I experienced after a while, that there were many systems in the world that were already there that were helpful, but ultimately it was most helpful for me to tune into my own internal system.
You know, I found that it's a continual evolution. I used to talk more about change when I wrote my first book, Dancing on the River. But now I'm thinking more, instead of change, is that we're continually expanding and evolving. And and we're in some ways fine-tuning. But once we start this path, it's never ending. I mean, that's kind of my experience. It's never ending, and it's exciting. It's a very exciting path. We find out, we seem to tune into the people we need to meet at the right time, and things come to us. It's interesting you mentioned Qigong. I just for years I've been into meditation and yoga, and at one time I practiced Tai Chi, but recently I started doing Qigong. The last 2 months I've been doing it every day, and I love it. And it's just I'm totally open to, you know, allowing new things to come in. And when you allow new things to come in, you start to think of possibilities, as we talked about earlier, that perhaps you gave up on. You start to see yourself as an energy system that is expansive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for my own sake, and I think for many others that I've spoken on the path, at first these things become intellectual understandings. We might read something about the body and the energy fields of the body and transcending the physicality and going into, you know, depths of consciousness beyond the norm. First we read about that, and then we start to experience it, or many of us start to experience it. Once you experience it and it becomes experiential, that's a whole different ball game. That's and I think it's also highly personal, often challenging for people to speak about, because even though there is a unifying quality to all of it, you know, there's great study now into interspiritual relation, where, you know, not just interdenominational but spiritual. So it'll take people from all around the world who have different spiritual practices, but they have the same outcome from those practices, that same oneness, that same unity consciousness. So but they put it, they describe it in their own way through their own paradigm of what they're used to. So for me, it becomes like a highly personal matter as well, and often challenging to speak about, because I'm big on meeting people where they are on their path rather than sharing where I am on my
uh-huh.
path.
So tell me about your book. So when did you, the book came out, what, in 2015? It's been out about 3 years.
2016 it came out, and it's a book. I'd been a screenwriter for many years. I'd done other types of writing, wellness writing, and I felt that I had this gift to allow things to come through me, and I really wanted to bring something forth that was quite beautiful, that could have an immediate impact on someone, not just like a movie, but something they could hold in their hand tangibly each day and get something of value from. And about 2 weeks after, you know, really wanting that and praying for that, in meditation I saw the cover of the book just appear in my mind's eye. And about 2 weeks after that, maybe 3 weeks, then the book started coming through me. So that was the genesis of the book. But this idea of self-mastery, I've been working along that path for many, many years. So I often tell people it wasn't like, you know, you'll hear these stories of someone, you know, gets a concussion and they come out of it and all of a sudden they're writing spiritual books, or they slip and fall and all of a sudden. It wasn't that. I've been on that path for quite some years. But my path and whatever grace that brought this book to me aligned at the perfect time, and it just flowed through me, and it's been something I've been, you know, it's been a joy for me to share with people around the world.
And how do people get your book?
They get it on the website, which is livingthehighestyou.com, and they can also get the ebook version of it on Amazon, but the soft cover is on livingthehighestyou.com.
Mm-hmm. And then if they want a digital copy, they just go to the Kindle version on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Some people prefer that. Yeah. I know there's a real energetic of this physical book, so I always like when people have the physical book because I think just holding it gives people a lot.
I like the blue cover, and also the same blue color of my book, my latest book, Soul of Uncertainty. So I'm partial.
I've had bookstore owners that really gravitate to it without even knowing why. You know, a lot of it is they love the cover and the energy of the cover, but I've had a lot of that situation where people have said you need that book. So, and I can't take credit for that.
What are some of the, you know, I want to get back to like this idea of self-mastery. Let's talk about it in a different way, a way that is on a practical level. What is it? Mm-hmm. On a very practical day-to-day level, how does it show up, this idea of you're on this path, and does it help you be more successful in the world? Does it help you be happier? Or what are some of the practical ramifications, how it would show up?
Well,
I mean, if somebody reads your book, what is the idea of reading? Will they get this sense of what it is to be a master? If they read your book?
Well, they certainly would. I mean, you know, basically on the back of the book, it said the passages in this book are meant to mirror back to you and in some cases awaken in you your own higher nature and knowing. So to start off, I believe that much of what's in my book, if not all of it, we already know. You could say on a soul level or on a higher consciousness level, we already know. So it's daily reminders. But the idea of self-mastery, you mentioned, does it bring you happiness? Does it bring you these success? What it brings you first and foremost is awareness. And everything stems from awareness. We get to see where our blind spots are. We get to realize when we're at important intersections within our lives, how to deal with that intersection, how to make decisions from a clear place. We get to see where points of freedom present themselves and we have chances to move forward in ways that are very healthy for us. So it aligns us with a deeper sense of awareness of who we are in each moment. And when you become aware and you reduce the blind spots and you reduce the subconscious behaviors that are running you, which has happened with many people, they're not even present in understanding of why they're making decisions. So self-mastery is a path of getting to understand the inner workings of your being and how you make decisions, where those decisions come from. And that's at the most basic level. You don't even have to talk about a spiritual dynamic to it. You could talk about the quality of living based on the quality of awareness.
So to put it in a simplistic way, is that one gets a sense of more or less, you know, as you say, they're blind spots. So some people go on a long life and they self-sabotage themselves and they don't know and they're not even aware of it, why it happens. And what you're saying is we become more aware of who we are and how we operate. We'll kind of know of the mistakes we make along the way.
Yeah, and awareness is the first step to change, right? So first you have to uncover things. Awareness is the first step to change. So the book really is about awareness. And one of the main things is it makes people aware, from my belief system, that they are more than just purely a physical body and that we are engaged in a world that is more than just physical, that there's a spiritual element dynamic at play as well. So the book helps people realize this, align with this, and in a sense, you could say trust and have faith in this, you know, because I think so much of what the world is doing now is it's looking outside. Everyone is looking outside themselves for answers, happiness, success, fulfillment. Everything is outside of ourselves rather than going inward, you know, and seeing this real dynamic connection. And when we go inward, we make ourselves far more receptive to what your whole show is about, which is inspiration. Inspiration comes from that place when we're inward, or at least when we're deeply relaxed. You'll hear countless stories of people who got the song that came through them during when they were in the shower or when they're on a long road trip and all of a sudden driving along in a relaxed state, they got an understanding, or taking a walk, they got an understanding. So, you know, this is the work that I do is greatly about awareness, expanding awareness, giving people tools to understand how they move through the world, to understand their story and how to improve upon that story they so desire.
So what I'm sensing from some of the things you said, trying to get a sense of to share with our listeners some of the ideas from the book. One is that it's really about becoming more self-aware, so we have a more sense of how we operate. And then you talked about this idea that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, as opposed to just physical beings having a spiritual experience. But our basic nature is spiritual. And so those are two of your nuggets in there. What are some other ones that leap out that you want to share right now with some of our listeners?
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to open to one page. I'm going to read you a passage from the book. And it said,
okay.
A master continually seeks to tune deeper into her instrument and to use it in the service of the grand and timeless orchestra that scores all of life. So if we were to meditate on that, we would see that the master continually seeks to tune deeper into her instrument, to tune deeper into this vessel that we are, this experience, and to use it in the service of the grand and timeless orchestra that scores all of life. So then it's speaking to this something bigger, that we're all part of something bigger. So if you're saying this nugget that you're asking, what's the other nugget? Well, the nugget is that you're an individual, but you're part of the whole. You're part of all the music. And your note is just as important for the song as anyone else's note. But what it is you have to allow that music to come through you. You have to be ready and willing to say, yeah, I'm here and I'm going to be of service in this way. And much of my work is not so much about this idea of self-mastery for the sake of self-mastery, but self-mastery for the sake of ultimate service to others and the whole. So it's not a selfish thing. It's about how do we align the highest within ourselves to then serve the most.
Uh-huh. So that's one. You know, one thing when I was looking at your book before, what I liked was how when you talked about a master, it was gender neutral. You talked about the master is he, the next, and then the paragraph next to that would be she.
Yeah.
Kind of a unusual way of doing that.
Well, I think if, you know, I know you've been around spiritual texts and these type of books for many, many years, Mark, and more often than not, it's always written in the male. And I was very clear when this book was coming together that I would honor the feminine aspect of it, which is often held back in spiritual texts.
Uh-huh. It's interesting you say that because a few of the books I've read from other people that have actually, a few people have been on my show, they've referred to actually the master or the teacher as a woman, as the feminine.
Yes.
So it's,
well, of course.
So here
of
you
course.
Were neutral. So I say you were neutral. Other people weren't neutral.
I think what's happening with a lot of other people is they're pushing back against what was, right? So they're almost not in any way overcompensating, but they're bringing a lot in the sense of the other to say, like, we've left this out for very long, and now I'm going to focus purely on this, which is fine. Not necessarily my path, but it's I can see the value in it, and I can see why it's the path of others.
Yeah. So we're kind of running out of time here, but we have enough time for you to kind of talk about a few other things in your book that are other nuggets. Like you did, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to open a page. I'm just opening a page right now, and
right.
A master knows that as science continues to connect the non-physical with the physical, many great discoveries shall be made. Knows that as science continues to connect the non-physical with the physical, many great discoveries. So there's more of this awareness that I've in my circle of this idea of science and spirituality.
Yes,
there's this coming together, and that sounds like what you were addressing there.
Yes, a clear example would be that when Yogananda came from India to America in 1920, he was, in a sense, talking about brain neuroplasticity. He wasn't using those exact words, although he did say the brain was plastic. This was in 1920. He wasn't doing science experiments. He was doing living experience. He experienced it firsthand. Now, one of the greatest, you know, breakthroughs we have is that we found the brain is indeed plastic, and neuroplasticity is leading to incredible discoveries. So that was an experience of what in the past was viewed as supernatural and is now viewed as science. So the more we do that, the more we delve into this, the more we uncover and bring the bridge, you know, bridge between the two, I think the more we'll, you know, grow in leaps and bounds as a race.
So, you know, I always ask my guests a few questions near the end of our time. What gives you hope?
Faith in the bigger picture. That there's much more to life than what we normally focus on. And at our core being, we know there's much more. My job is to help people wake up to that truer identity within them. And when that is woken, then they have more faith.
Faith. And what inspires you right now?
Talking to you and knowing that you're inspiring many others.
What else?
Nature. Nature is probably one of my greatest inspirations for all it brings to me. I marvel at nature. You know, there's a passage in the Mastery book that said a master never loses a sense of childlike wonder. And I think, you know, that's been one thing that I've lived. You know, I'm in awe when I walk out into the natural world.
It's beautiful. It's amazing. No, I like this idea of childlike wonder. I think in a lot of ways, more things we can get back into that we did as kids.
It just
kind of awakens our whole life. I always played music as a kid, and I've always played an instrument. There was like a 5-year gap in my life in my 20s when I didn't play. But since then, I've played every day, and it awakens an innocence in me, something that is part of me. And I think the more things that we can do that we did as children, that we're in the natural flow of our lives, because I think the one thing as kids that we've kind of lost sight of is how to play. Because in those days, we just played, in fact, and we lost track of time. We played, we lost track of time. And we didn't think about what we had to do tomorrow.
Yes.
And if we can get back to that state, then I think there's going to be a lot more joy in our lives and this experience of just to be more aware of how we flow with life. And I think that's really what your book is about. So for you out there, get a copy of Glenn's book. I think you'll enjoy it. And it's something is that you can just keep by your bedside and just read a passage or two every night. So thank you, Glenn Bergenkamp, for being the guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. It was a pleasure to get to know you more and to look at your book, read your book, and this idea of living the highest you. It's just all of us have that potential to be the best you can be. That's kind of how I say it, be the best you can say, and you're saying living the highest you. So that is more or less the idea. Keep growing and allow yourself to let people in and be inspired and to try new things. It just allow new things to come into your life. So every week, as you know, we have some amazing people to bless us, lighten us, to teach us, and in the meantime, until next week, journey on. And let's again thank you to Glenn Bergenkamp for being our guest today. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Mark. It was wonderful to speak with you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.